Most of us do not get super excited about interruptions in life. We have live streamers today and we welcome them. How many of you have live streamed a service before because of sickness or out of town and you live streamed a service? You can put your hands down. Sometimes when you live stream, you are watching something and the internet connection is not very strong. And so what happens? You get interrupted, don't you? The screen stops and it catches whatever you're watching in still motion. And you wait there for the interruption to end so that you can continue watching whatever you're planning to watch, if it's a service or whatnot. I don't like interruptions. My children growing up, when they were younger, I should say, at 2 and 3 and 4 years old, they were very good at interrupting. We would be in a conversation here at church, and one of them would come up and say, "Daddy, Daddy, Mommy, Mommy." And I'm talking to somebody. Help me out here. And we worked with them and tried to get them and taught them to come alongside of us and put their hand on our thigh. And then that lets us know that they're there. And when Mommy and Daddy are done talking, we'll give the attention that you need. And not to just barge into a conversation and interrupt. Interruptions are frustrating. Sometimes I face interruptions in my life. I have a schedule. I have a plan for every day of my life. I have things that I plan to do during the week. And I'm kind of a structured individual. And I get interruptions. Sometimes it's through the computer, that dumb computer that doesn't work all the time. We have kind of a joke in the office. Russell says, every time the computers aren't working, Russell says, paper and pencil. Always reliable. I don't like interruptions. I don't like broken down vehicles. They're an interruption in my life. I had to go to Butch this week. We didn't have heat coming out of the van, and it's cold out. And so I said, "Butch, I need help." And thankfully, Butch helped me, and hopefully we get that fixed. There's all kinds of interruptions in life. It's hard when they happen. Everything seems to be moving along well, and then the unexpected happens in a life. Interruptions are a part of life. I want you to understand something about God this morning as I begin the message. God is a God of interruptions. God is in the midst, and God is in the business of interrupting people's lives. When you take that word interrupt and you break it down, it means to break, and then the other part of the word means into. And so when we're talking about an interruption, we're talking about something that happens in your life where somebody breaks into your life or breaks into a conversation, so to speak. And I want to announce to you this morning in this message that God is in the business of breaking into lives. He's in the business of interrupting people's lives for His honor and glory. I'm speaking this morning on this thought: when God interrupts your life. When God interrupts your life. Often God's interruptions are not preceded by a warning like, "Hey, something bad's going to come into your life. Hey, I'm about ready to inflict pressure into your life. Hey, I'm going to do something in your life that's going to get all of your attention on me." But God is a God that interrupts. We are people that have full schedules in America. We often think that our security is in our plans and our routines and our calendars and in the control that we have over situations and circumstances around us. So we develop neatly planned and tightly wrapped and well-ordered lives and think that our sufficiency will be in these things. And then God says, "I'm going to interrupt it all. I'm going to step into your life and I'm going to break into your life and upset the apple cart, so to speak. Turn things upside down in your life." God's in the business of interrupting. He did it in the life of Mary. The passage that we read tells us about the interruption that God did in Mary's life. When God decided in heaven that the fullness of the time was come, according to Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 4, He sent down His Son, the Bible says, to this earth. And it was an interruption to the world. It was a divine interruption in the life of humanity. God said, "Pardon me, I'm going to interrupt all of mankind's life. I'm going to send to this world my only Son. And I'm going to send him to be born in order to die for man's sin. I'm going to interrupt you to provide a Savior. He did it through the womb of a lady by the name of Mary. I want you to think about Mary this morning with me. She was a young virgin. She was engaged to be married when suddenly God the Father comes on the scene and says, I want to change everything in your life. All the plans that are set in place, I want you to put all those aside over here. I'm coming to interrupt your life. Think about Joseph in this scenario. He was a man of righteousness and purity. He had treated his fiancée with integrity and respect. And then suddenly, the angel of the Lord announces to him that his fiancée is pregnant and that God did it. It was a major interruption. They thought that they had everything planned just right. Joseph, the carpenter, may have been busy building a home for them to live in. Mary probably spending her days preparing for the day when she would marry Joseph. And they would settle down in Nazareth and have a simple life. Joseph would use the skills that God had given him, and Mary would keep the home and prepare the daughters that she might have to follow her footsteps. I'm sure she had all kinds of dreams in her life. But then God interrupted. They would now have to live with others misunderstanding the situation. There would be a shame that others would bring upon them, not knowing that God put the child in Mary's womb. They would spend their first years of life traveling between Nazareth and Bethlehem and Egypt, and at times fleeing for their lives, for the life of this son that God had given to them as a gift. God interrupted. Think about the shepherds in the story. They were following their routine, working maybe that midnight shift when the angel told them to go to Bethlehem and find the king in a manger. It was an interruption to life. Think about the wise men. They were studying the stars when God said, hey, go find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. It was an interruption. Listen, God is a God that we see in the Christmas story that interrupts our lives. Think about Christ in heaven. Think about living in the perfect place, being right next to the Father at the throne room of God, being with the angels and hearing their singing, and being in glory, arraigned in glory in heaven. And God says, now's the time for you to go to earth. Now's the time for you to be born in a manger. Now's the time for you to live a life where you'll be despised and rejected of men. It must have been an interruption. You know, God not only interrupted Mary's life and Joseph's life and the shepherds and the wise men and Christ, but God interrupts your life, doesn't He? God interrupts my life. God interrupts the life of the sinner this morning. Are you listening to me? To soften your heart that you might receive Jesus Christ. We have some people here this morning that I've never met. You're here for the first time in our church, and I welcome you as the pastor of Mount Zion. And I think that you'll find our church to be a friendly church. But church isn't just about church, my friend. When you come to this church, the message of this church is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He died for you. And God has you here, I believe, for the purpose of hearing the gospel this morning. God has interrupted your life schedule, so to speak, and said on this Sunday, you'll be at Mount Zion Baptist Church to hear the truth of the gospel that your soul could be saved from sin. He interrupts. God breaks into a life in order that his soul might be tender to the gospel. In my grandfather's life, he was 57 years old. For 57 years, he had lived his life without Christ. He had lived his life hopeless and away from God. And the burden of his sins upon him, those sins weighed heavy. And as his life went on and on, he became closer to the point of death where he would pay for those sins in a place called hell, separated from God. But God brought a stroke into my grandfather's life. And he lay on the hospital bed. The preacher came in. God interrupted his life. He prayed with that preacher at the hospital bed. and receive Jesus Christ as Savior? Could it be someone here this morning, you've been without Christ, you're living without a Savior, and God's doing some interrupting in your life? It may not be a stroke. It could be a loss of a job. It could be a marriage that's about ready to splinter apart. It could be the loss of a loved one in your life. It could be a bad report that you got physically about your health. And God's interrupting this morning, and God's saying, I'm doing this to make your heart tender so that you'll receive Jesus as Savior. God says, I love you so much to interrupt your life so that you can see me, so that you can see your need of my Son, Jesus Christ. Sometimes the interruption is more simple. Sometimes it's a gospel tract that's left behind at the workplace. And somebody comes across it and it interrupts their lives. Listen, Christians, don't devalue giving a gospel tract. That's an interruption in someone's life that God can use. Sometimes it's somebody coming and knocking at your door and telling you about a Savior. Sometimes it's through the preaching of God's Word that God interrupts your life and shows you that you have a sin problem and shows you how bad your sin is and how much it separated you from God. But God loved you and sent His Son so that you could come back to God and be saved. I want to give you four reasons this morning why God interrupts lives. Number one, God interrupts us to increase our faith in Him. One of the reasons God brings an interruption in your life and in my life is that God would see our faith increase. That happened in the life of Mary. There was an interruption in her life. She's going about her normal life, and here comes an angel, the Bible says. And the angel speaks unto her, and speaks unto her something that she could never imagine in her wildest dreams. He says, you're going to have a child, but you're not going to have a child through a man. You're going to have a child by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is going to plant a child in your womb. What? How can this be? She said. Physically speaking, in her own reasoning of her mind, she said, this is literally impossible. This cannot take place. How can this take place? Her faith was small at the time, but it's during God's interruptions that God expands and seeks to develop and expand and deepen our faith in Him. There's not too many of us that are living the life that we plan to live. I remember when I came here in 1999, I came here and I told my father I planned to be here for 5 years. Plan to go out and take a church after 5 years. Life hasn't gone according to plan. Life hasn't gone according to plan for you either. You know why? God sends interruptions. God brings interruptions into our lives. Sometimes the whole course of our lives hinge on the moments at which God interrupts us. Are you listening to me this morning? They may seem like inconveniences. For Mary, there was a sense of being overwhelmed at what she heard. Me? This is going to happen to me? How are others going to think about this? There were all kinds of thoughts that were going through Mary's mind, but it was a time in Mary's life where God wanted to increase her faith in Him. Sometimes there are heartbreaking interruptions. Sometimes it's the moving away of a friend, or a terrible financial setback, or a major illness. But don't you understand this morning that when God sends an interruption, it's a stepping stone in your life that your faith would grow and build and strengthen in God Himself. That's the interruption that took place in Mary's life. It was a time for her faith to increase. She would have to believe in God for a miracle. When was the last time that you believed in God for a miracle or had to? You know, oftentimes when those interruptions take place in our lives, that's what God's trying to do. God's trying to help us to see Him as bigger than what we see Him currently. That's what he was doing in Mary's life. You can't put such important moments on your appointment calendar. There's some things that have happened in my life and your life that I wouldn't want to put on my calendar. I wouldn't want it to be there that I had to look forward to it. But God puts it there. God puts the interruption in your life so that you can see that God is bigger than what you see Him as you see Him currently. The increase in faith would mean that Mary would have to believe that God would do a miracle. Has God broke into your life recently and put you in a place where you have to trust Him for a miracle? It's so that our faith would increase. Notice in verse number 37 of Luke chapter 1, one of the things that God was trying to get to Mary was this thought, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." As you look at your future this morning, there are a lot of young people in our church. I'm thankful for everyone. But your future may look very clouded this morning. You may say, "Preacher, I don't know what's going to happen in my future. God is going to have to show me. My future is so up in the air today." You need God to do a miracle. You need God to work in that. May I remind you today that with God, nothing shall be impossible regarding your future. As you look at your family this morning, there may be burdens that you're bearing about your family. But may I remind you this morning, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. It's an interruption maybe in your life right now. But those interruptions are for the purpose of bringing you to the conclusion that I serve a miracle-working God. And nothing is impossible with my God. As you look at your frustrations in life, you may need a miracle. This is part of God's reasoning for bringing an interruption into your life. For you to be established in this present truth that nothing shall be impossible. For a college student, the bills may be mounting. And you may be saying, "How's it going to work? How's God going to provide?" You may need a miracle. God's in the business of working miracles. You look at your fears this morning. Say, "Oh, if my fears come true, my life is going to be wrecked. But with God, nothing shall be impossible." You look at your finances and think, "We're not going to make it." And I say to you, and with God, nothing shall be impossible. What if the miracle doesn't come, Pastor? What then? I want to give you a thought that I read by a man by the name of Barnes. I thought it was better stated than what I could put it into other words. He said, "We do not live by faith in God's intervention, but by faith in God's grace when there is no intervention." What if God doesn't choose to do the miracle? Then God will give me the grace that I need. Is God interrupting your life? Mary's faith was strengthened by God's word. In fact, as you read this story in verses 26 through 38, there was nothing else she could rely on. There was nothing that was going to change the situation. The angel had spoken. God had sent the angel to speak to her. She wasn't going to change the situation. She wasn't going to change the interruption in her life. She must have thought, "I know what he's saying, but this has never happened before. And by the way, it'll never happen again. This is something unique that God's doing. How can I believe that?" But God said it. And her faith was strengthened in the Word of God. And my friend, when you're going through an interruption in your life, your faith has to be strengthened by God's Word. That's why God interrupts. There's a second reason God interrupts. God interrupts our lives to identify our weakness. Look at Luke 1, verses 28 through 30. He does it to increase our faith, but he also does it to identify our weakness. Verse number 28, the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art Thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. The cast in her mind phrase is the only place that we find those words put together in the Scripture. We find it translated in other passages with the word reasoning. In Matthew chapter 16, the disciples had come to the other side and they'd forgot to take bread with them. And they reasoned in verse number 7 among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. And here's what Christ responded with, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because ye have brought no bread. He goes back to his feeding of the 5,000 with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He goes back to his feeding of the 4,000 and says, Hey, disciples, if I could do it with 5,000 and 4,000, and you happen to forget bread as you came across, do you not think that I can provide bread for you? They reasoned among themselves. You know, we are no different when God brings an interruption into our lives. What is the first thing we go to? Reason. We cast in our minds like Mary did. And what is the result of that? It's trouble. She was troubled in her soul. It's anxiety. It's, we're going to figure it out. But the more that we reason, the more upset we become, the more puzzled, the more confused, the more we go into panic mode as we try to reason out what God's trying to do in our lives. And that was Mary's initial response. This interruption in Mary's life revealed a weakness that God wanted her to overcome. Like the disciples and like Mary, faith is very rarely our first response to God's interruptions. We try to figure out God's thoughts. And here's what happens when doubts appear. Uh-oh, God doesn't know what He's doing. Uh-oh, God's got something in my life and He doesn't know. He doesn't care about me. He doesn't know what He's doing. When doubts appear, the great temptation is for us to turn the blessing of God into ambitious goals that we will get for ourselves. That's what happens when we reason. We're going to work it out. We're going to fight through this. We're going to get a hold of this in our lives. And that's not what God wants. God says, I'm bringing an interruption in your life for you to have faith. For you to see, you're not going to solve it. You're not going to get yourself out of the situation. You need to trust me. Mary was no longer in control. God was. Is it that this week you were in control? Until God said, oh, pardon me, life interruption. And God reminded you, you're not in control. God is. God's interruption would mean many would misunderstand her. God's interruption meant her calm life would be in an upheaval. God's interruption in her life meant difficult journeys. Mary was entering the world of the unknown. I don't like that world. And neither do you in most cases. But the world of the unknown was also going to be the world of unbelievable blessing. She had never been down the road of life she was entering, and neither had anyone else. Has God's interruption in your life led you to unknown territory of late? Oh, I've never been down this road before, Pastor. Yes. God's interrupting. How are you reacting to God's interruptions in your life? Are you troubled? Is the mind running and reasoning? Putting things in your mind, casting in your mind how it's going to work? This morning God says, stop. And here's the conclusion that Mary came to. Be it according to your word. Lord, I trust what you say. And so, Lord, let it happen according to your word. Nothing shall be impossible. Mary, thankfully, came out of the wrong response to the right response in verse 38. When God interrupts your life, you are thrown into a belief that is not clothed in anything that gives us comfort. Sometimes we have this false thought that living for God means prosperity all the time and comfort. And God every once in a while reminds us, no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. I'm in the business of interrupting lives. I'm in the business of breaking into lives. Teenagers, God breaking into your life? Something going on in your life that you don't have control of right now? And it's difficult. God's interrupting. God's trying to get you to have faith in Him. He's magnifying your weakness. There's a third truth. God interrupts us to include us in His overall plan. Have you looked at the interruption in your life from this perspective? That God would use Mary? God was including Mary in His overall plan. Wait a second. This is the God of the universe. This is the God that's all powerful, that knows all. This is the God that is omnipresent. He's here and He can be in Russia at the same time. And this God came down to Mary, the individual, and said, I want to use you for my glory. The interruptions that come into our lives is God communicating to us and saying, I want to use you. You're included in my overall plan. Thank God for that. Sometimes we look at interruptions and we say, man, the interruptions, I don't want them. God, do not disturb. Put the sign across my chest. Don't touch my life. God says, I want to touch your life because I want to use you. And in order to use you, I've got to break you. I've got to interrupt. I've got to strengthen your faith. That's what God does. Spurgeon said, God never greatly uses a man until He wounds a man. That's why the wounds come in, so that you and I can be more greatly used by God. He wants to include us in His overall plan. Mary wasn't chosen by anybody else. She wasn't a popular person that we find in the Scriptures. But she was important to God. And God said, I want to include you. We don't want bumpy times in our lives. We say, do not disturb, God. And God says, let me interrupt. Because I want to include you. I have a plan for you. I want to use you. And so let me interrupt your life. It was just over a year ago that God interrupted Larry and Kathy Phoenix' life. It was an abrupt interruption when the doctor's report came of stage 3 or stage 4 cancer in her body. It was troubling at first, they would have to admit. It certainly caused their mind to go in all kinds of different directions, as it would yours. It revealed to them how frail our lives are. But it also caused them to see how faithful God is. God's interruption in their lives was God leading them through the fire so that they could be more greatly used by God. And God said, let me interrupt. And I believe that in a congregation this size, God's speaking to people and saying, I need to interrupt your life. I'm breaking in right now. I'm coming in. I'm going to mess things up in your life for a while. But the whole goal is that you might be used by God in a greater sense, in a greater way. Lastly, God interrupts us to instill in us surrender. Mary had to surrender to God's plan for her life. It certainly wasn't her plan. His plan would have blessings far beyond what she could dream of, but it was going to have some rough terrain that she would have to work through. I believe that Mary could have responded, no. No, God, I don't want this. Lord, there's too many things here. My pride is going to be demolished as people look upon me in our culture and they're going to misunderstand this. Lord, I don't want all that shame. But Mary surrendered to Him. In
verse 46, it says, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior." I wonder, in your interruption, have you surrendered to it? Said, "Okay, Lord, you have the right to interrupt my life. Lord, your interruption will be right. I surrender to your plan. Lord, I don't understand it. I don't understand how it's going to work. But I surrender to it." I close with this verse this morning. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." There's another group that God interrupts. That is the backslider's life. He interrupts the sinner's life. He interrupts the Christian's life. He interrupts the backslider's life. You've been running from God of late, and life's not getting easier. It's getting harder. You know why? God's saying, "I want to interrupt your life. I don't want you to keep going that way. That's why I keep putting up obstacles. That's why I keep putting up walls and hedges in your life. That's why you keep bumping into things hard in your life. I want to interrupt you so that you'll turn back to me, so that you'll come back." In the Christmas story, one of the things we learn about our Almighty God is that God's a God that interrupts.